This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
All right, Pat, the Wolves are almost back to full strength. Carl Anthony Towns last night, I don't know if it was like he said on Bally's after the game. I don't know that it was like a movie. No, I'm not sure I'd go quite that far.
I don't think it was Hoosiers. I don't think it was Saving Private Ryan. I don't think it was any of that's what I said. It was such a heroic occasion that I'm going to go watch Saving Private Ryan. I think he's boy, is he a lunatic. But
Saving Private Ryan, Hoosiers, or beating the Hawks on a Wednesday.
On two free throws. But I will say, even if he hasn't played in 3.5 months, he's the guy I want shooting those two free throws with the game on the line. He's an excellent free thrower. He's missed a few when they really counted in the past, but you have full faith that he's going to make two free throws. He is amazing as a big man that can shoot the basketball. It is amazing that he can shoot. He can score the basketball from distance, as they say. But beyond that, he is a lunatic. And he was the fact he was so happy with himself at the end for the interview was unbelievable. But I guess not.
He was that's like the most joyful I think we've ever seen him. So he hits the two free throws. The Wolves are up by one, and they take him out for to just put a more nimble defensive unit out there when just to cover more space, right? And so as the timeout's kind of breaking up, he knows that he's coming out of the game, and so he's not even like paying attention. And they're drying up like their defensive game plan. He's literally talking to the Bally's camera.
Yes.
You know, just kind of babbling and celebrating. It's like, dude, there's still 4 seconds left in this game. Let's wait until the Hawks break their final set.
Apparently, I missed the push-off at the Taurean Prince. They're saying the referee said after the game that he cleared out the rebounder. And now, I don't know, was there time to still get a rebound shot up? The guy, he fired that 33-footer in desperation with about 2 seconds to go, right? I don't know, but they after the game, the official, Ben Taylor, said that we missed a push, a clear out by Taurean Prince at the end and didn't give him a chance to rebound. So.
Ben missed a lot. It wasn't just that. I said Ben Taylor missed a lot last night. That was a both ways, too. It's not just a Wolves problem. But, my God, the level of lack of consistency of what's a foul and things like that is just off the charts.
Yes, it is. Now, people were also complaining that Cat, before he got fouled, was clearing out, but I don't think that was – I didn't see that as a clear out. I thought it was more of a, you're over there, I feel you.
He was getting bodied by John Collins, and he's –
He's kind of going, like that. I wasn't like, get the hell out of my way. So I don't think that was reversible, but who cares? It was a fun night, a good game. You know what I like the way they're doing? I like the way that Gobert is more reactive and out of the way more. He's not standing there right next to the lane, making it impossible to drive. He's moving around a little bit. It's not like he's going out looking for an 8-footer or something, but he's not clogging things up by staying in the same place down there. And he's much more reactive to the glass by coming to the glass than he was just standing there and camping there. And they finally figured out a little bit of how to play around him. And now it'll be interesting to see because they were when the first 20 games when those two guys played together, it was really a slog. But I don't think it is.
Conley helps, and you could see some of that last night too.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Conley is just a great traffic cop, and he knows that's his job. And if the ball comes back, he'll shoot a three, but he's not. Yeah. He's not just and D'Lo's probably a better overall player, but you can't have your point guard always be looking for his shot first. And then if I happen to, you know, on the back half of the shot clock, you know.
And I will say it took him about 5-6 games to figure out what was going on, too. It wasn't you walked in and for sure, because he was not impressive the first game. He wasn't making any shots. But now when he shoots, it's in a great rhythm now. And, you know, the ball gets back. And you can see what they wanted in him. I was wrong about that. Now he's healthy, too. That makes a difference. He's what he missed. I think he missed one or two games since he's been here. But, yeah, I think. He just made Gobert feel that when he's trying to do what he does, there's a guy who knows what he's trying to do. You know, D'Lo didn't pay enough attention to worry about what Gobert was doing or not. He just it was a good move. It certainly for this year saved the trade, I would say. Now it's going to be interesting. I mean, Nas was fantastic last night, so. You really can't take his minutes away, can you? So, but
and they're not going to.
Why not just play Cat 20 or 25,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Nas is. So the biggest difference between the time that Cat got hurt against Washington and now, I think, is Nas, too. Because Nas was playing like 12 and a half minutes per game, Pat, before that. And now he's playing more, and he has been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, defensively.
Yes. It'd sure be nice to be able to figure out a way to keep him. But we'll see if that's possible, because the way he handles the ball now, the way he sees the court, the way he shoots, he's going to get a lot of money from somebody. So, but this team, somebody idiot today on Twitter, I was up early this morning, said, I pointed out that Luka went down to Des Moines and had 29-8-7 last night or something. I looked that up. This guy says, which one of the stiffs is he going to replace? There aren't any up front.
No.
They don't have any stiffs. I mean, Nathan Knight, who was okay when he played. He wasn't great, but he was okay. He had his moments. He never gets off the bench anymore.
Nathan Knight, if you put Nathan Knight every night, like Luka Garza is in the G League, he would also be putting up 25 and 12.
Yes, that's right. But I guess they got tremendous depth up front now, all of a sudden. And now that Cat's back, they got even more of it. But
and you know, it's, I think that one of the most amazing things about this team, and because you talk about like Anthony Edwards' third year leap, so to speak, Jade McDaniels, offensively, he's getting better. But the last two wins at the very end of the game, they put him on 57-point Julius Randle, and he flusters him into a turnover to end the game. And then last night, you can put him on Trae Young.
Yes.
He blankets Trae Young, who didn't even get a touch on the final possession. It's incredible.
Yeah. I was surprised they didn't try to run something to at least run you. Young kind of went towards the middle of the court to try to get the ball instead of somewhere in traffic. But you're right. I mean, the guy is he's man, and you appreciate how big he is when you see him guarding somebody. He's a full 6'9", isn't he now?
Yeah.
It sort of looks like that. So, you know what? It's a pretty talented team that still might not make the play. Everybody's got the same number of losses, so it's still you got to win. Got to win, what, 6 out of 8 here to make sure you're in, right?
Well, it's hard to know. Like, so they're 37-37. Right now they are tied for the 7 seed with the Thunder. They're a half game up on the Lakers and Mavericks. They're a full game up on the Jazz, they're a full game up on the Jazz and the Pelicans, who are on the outside looking in. So they're one game away from being out of the play-in. But, Pat, they're 2 games away from being the 4 seed. They're 2 games back of a Kevin Durant-less Suns team that's lost 2 games in a row now.
Yes, yeah, the Suns have been the flop of the year for sure. What, because of, you know, they trade for a guy who never plays. And it's a lot of fun. The Big Ten, the NBA this year is a lot of fun. There's so many really good games, and there's so much offensive talent. And last night was another one of them. Hey, how was the cat greeting? It was hard to tell on television.
Oh, Jack. It was loud. Mm-hmm. It was loud. It was very positive. It was we were thrilled. In fact, I will send you it because I actually recorded it on my phone. I will send you. You can hear. I sent it to Dex. You can
also go to Scornorth Twitter account. Scornorth social media accounts has the Judd videographer.
That's a lot to ask from Pat. That's a lot to ask right there.
Okay.
But anyway.
I can do that. I can do that. So, I was surprised that, I guess I wasn't surprised. These are the hardcores who go to the game. So they love Cat. They don't realize he's a moron, but
they don't care as long as he scores points.
Yeah, he did. And he came out aggressive and fired up and trying to, but he did not absolutely. He didn't ruin anything last night. He played in the offense, right?
He didn't seem to be like losing. He played with joy for 2 hours. It didn't feel like he was losing his mind at the officials. And
no,
that's going to be kind of the key. And then when you put Anthony Edwards back into this thing, maybe as soon as this weekend, and now all the pieces are together minus D'Lo for the first time. What does that look like? And in a Western Conference, by the way, that's pretty wide open because of injuries. If they can just kind of get in and get it to gel a little bit, it'll be really interesting to see what they can do against the Kings in a 7-game series or something.
Yeah, it would. It would. The Kings are, the Kings are an interesting team to play because they don't guard you. They just try to score 140. So that would be.
Which they might against these guys.
It might be an equal. It might be 140, 135, 6-7 times. It would be terrific. So. Let's do it. Why not?
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
I like it. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Have you guys, and for Pat specifically, I guess, because Judd doesn't really meet people because he just stays inside of his house in St. Louis Park. Mm-hmm. But when's the last time you were starstruck, like nervous meeting someone in your life and career?
That would take Willie Mays, but that was 2014. Spending 90 minutes with him was you were really, A, awestruck. B, I hope I don't say anything that makes him end this. because he's not that much of an outgoing guy. I guess him. I have to think, but certainly there's been others through the years that. Muhammad, way back when Harvey McKay got me 45 minutes with him upstairs and before one of his book signings. So that was, 15 years ago, probably.
So it happened to me. I was out in Los Angeles for the Barrett Sports Media Summit, which is all of the sports media leaders and luminaries in the country, and then me, for some reason. Also in this room, and I didn't plan on feeling this way, but I was invited backstage to go meet my favorite professional wrestler of all time, Shawn Michaels, who wrestled in the AWA in the 80s, and then he was a WWF and WWE superstar for those who don't follow. And so Jason Barrett, the organizer of the event, he knows I'm a huge wrestling geek, and so he texted me before. Shawn Michaels did like a 35-minute session on just entertainment and developing talent stuff. And so Jason texted me and said, hey, if you want to come backstage, we got like 5 or 10 minutes before we go on. And I was like, okay, awesome. I'll go back and meet Shawn Michaels. And when I was fine going back. And then when I saw him, he's just sitting on the couch in the green room. My pulse went up like 20
really?
Beats. And someone introduces me to him. And I'm just like, a stammering idiot. I said, Shawn, I think I thanked him. I think I said, Shawn, thank you. Love following your career. and then I was just speaking in fragments. And I said, 1991 Target Center. And then I stopped. And he goes, he like turns his head sideways. He's like, yeah? I said, sorry. That's the first time I ever saw you wrestle when I was a kid. It was at Target Center, and then I saw you again in Miami, and he could tell I was nervous. So he just, like, shook my hand, brought me in for a half hug, and then we took a picture, and then we talked for a little bit, and it was fine. But I wasn't expecting. It's kind of funny. Like, wait, I guess when you do this and you do media and stuff, you just kind of get desensitized to it. But I was definitely as nervous as I can remember meeting my favorite professional wrestler yesterday.
So he's your number one through the years, through the decades, Shawn Michaels?
Okay. Yeah. Just like, just the most incredible performer, athletic, everything, storyteller. He's one of the best. He's basically our generation's, you know, Ric Flair, I guess. Yeah.
Well, I don't know, because I never had the chance to meet the Crusher, but that probably wouldn't have been, you know, he probably would have crushed a beer can in his head for you or something.
Mr. Crusher, hello.
Yes, yes. And I met Kenny J when he threw me out of a bar. I met him, and he was kind of a hero. By the way, now that you bring that up, we're going to have to pass along the information later, but they're having some kind of an AWA reunion in late April. Brunzell's very much involved, but it's like the first, they're trying to have these, some guys trying to promote these things. They're not going to make these poor old guys get in there and wrestle.
No,
but
no, please don't.
It's some kind of an event, and that, I'll probably be able to get a column out of that, because I do say that my job security the last 12 years has been dead wrestlers. Every time they die, every time one of them dies, I get to write a column that gets a tremendous amount of hits. It's amazing how the print subscribers still love the AWA, and it's the one thing I do that I get lots of emails on. You know, you get 5 days later some 82-year-old who used to watch it with his grandmother is emailing me. So I can see that, if you're into the wrestling. I never got into, the WWE, but which was originally the WWF, right?
That was And so Shawn Michaels, his tag team partner at the beginning was Marty Jannetty, and they were an AWA tag team in the 80s, kind of toward the end of the AWA heyday. And it's one of the most infamous, you know, tag team partner turns on his guy moment.
Really?
If you remember, it was an interview in the Brutus the Barber Beefcake barber shop. It was a barber shop, and he would interview wrestlers and stuff. And so they were having some problems, you know, Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels, but then they had reunited and everything was great, and they reunite on the barber shop, and hey, where everything's kumbaya. And then Shawn Michaels kicks Marty Jannetty's head off, just a blindside kick, and then throws him through the glass window of the barbershop.
The old resentments come pouring forth, huh?
Yep.
I wonder when the first famous tag, you know, the guy who invented the tag team should have a statue in front of every wrestling match that's ever held. Because they, you know, back in the 30s, they just had wrestling. They could increase the drama so much with it. But the turn against your partner goes back to about 2 weeks after the first tag team match, doesn't it?
It's a great trope.
I mean, Crusher went from bad guy to good guy because he helped out Vern, you know, against some evil. As a third party, he came in to help out Vern in a tag team match, I think. And then all of a sudden, that's how you get a bad guy to become a good guy, is you have him turn on his evil partner. That's the easiest way to get
someone.
The sad thing is, I feel like in WWE, at least the last few, like the tag teams themselves, it's not as good as it used to be. Like, it's kind of fallen off. As like 20 years ago, there was 4 or 5 amazing stables that were gunning for tag team titles. Yeah.
He's not holding a rope. Yeah. Marty Miller. He's not. You get back. Meanwhile, his partner's getting hit with a building.
Yeah. You know? getting stabbed with a shiv. Yeah.
You needed to be in a very successful wrestling official. You needed inattentiveness. You needed to be easily distracted if you were.
It's kind of amazing that wrestling has held off instant replay for all. They should have challenge flags where the manager of the wrestling tag team can throw a challenge flag.
You know, that might That might happen. That might revise it. You have to have the big delay in the middle of the ring while everybody's standing.
Oh, did he get his did he get his shoulder off the mat? We're gonna go back and take a look.
Wait, did he really stab him with a blunt with an instrument here?
Actually, you know, it's, we joke about stabbing. There was a match. There was a match a couple weeks ago on AEW, which gets a little more gory, where John Moxley, I think he stabbed your guy.
Yeah,
what's his name? Cowboy guy, Hangman, with a fork.
Yeah.
Oh. Like Abdullah the Butcher style from back in the day.
We've gotten out of control if we're stabbing each other with forks.
I agree.
Got his hand crushed.
Hey, big hockey day today.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to. We do have St. Cloud Mankato on TV, right, Judd?
Yeah, ESPNU.
ESPNU.
Yep.
So we're going to. They're
4 o'clock. Gophers and Canisius is at 8 o'clock. Wild and Flyers are on ESPN also, I believe, at 5:30. So all three
Minnesota
teams. Yeah,
Royce doesn't
teams.
Care about that.
I don't care about that.
The,
Flyers aren't even worth worrying about. The Wild will beat them 7-2 now that they have the new Kaprizov explosive attack. They'll beat them 7-2. But St. Cloud could be hate to tell the Mankato people this, but it could be Mike Hastings' last game. He's one of the candidates at Wisconsin, maybe the leading candidate. So, and Wisconsin hasn't done anything, so they're obviously waiting for somebody who's in the tournament. And but St. Cloud Mankato, the old traditional rivals, and then the Gophers. Now I got to tell you, I heard Louis Nanny on an appearance on Barrero the other day. Louis, very fearful of Canisius.
Oh.
Louis, Nanny fears Canisius. He's trying to set up the loss for Canisius.
Come on now.
If they don't beat him 8-1, just because they took a dive against Holy Cross 15 years ago, this team cannot lose to Canisius, okay? It's going to be 8-2 or something like that.
Somebody has to replace Sid as far as the foreboding, though. It's got to be Louis. He's going to.
Yes, it does, but he didn't. He's very defensive about any possibility of this Gopher team getting defeated, and I think they'll have their game back. And you know, they'd only played once in 3 weeks, right before they played Michigan, because they had the bye in the 1 week.
They were rusty.
They were rusty. But I'll be watching that game, and so. I'm Mr. Hockey today. By the way, I retweeted a great column I wrote a couple of years ago about the origins of the St. Cloud Mankato rivalry when they were playing outdoors, and each of them had a pestle. Jeff played for St. Cloud, and his brother played for Mankato, and they would all get overserved together at the post-game parties, and it was quite a Steve Martinson, one of the greatest fighters in the history of minor league hockey. He had, like, supposedly over 300 fights or something and thousands of minutes and penalties. And I got a hold of him. He played for St. Cloud, and he said, you remember on the ice fights as much as he remembered going to a beer party in Mankato after a Saturday night game there. They stayed over. What coach let the St. Cloud players stay over in the party town of all time?
The coach probably went back.
College town. And Martinson said, that was a great brawl because some of the Mankato players. So they didn't fight that much in the game, but they had a hell of a fight at the post-game beer party in Mankato. So it was back in the day when they were, you know, both Division II back then, when hockey was not what it was.
Yeah.
To see these somebody, by the way, somebody sent me an email. The NCAA's great idea to put all three Minnesota teams in Fargo and fill the arena. He said he was trying to get tickets. Because he wasn't a Gopher season ticket holder, he couldn't get tickets. And they were priced at $33 a piece. The best he could find on the market was $400.
Wow. There you go. Genius.
The three towns were buying us, sucking up all the tickets. And I think one ticket gets you into both games, right?
Yeah,
even though they're four hours apart.
And Shields Arena, I don't know if you've been there, Pat, but it's all lower bowl, and I think it's only 5,000. It's actually a really cool arena, but it's a smaller rink.
It only holds 5,000 people, yeah. So maybe you shouldn't have, maybe you should only send two of them instead of having, the Gopher hockey crowd is not one equipped or any, and certainly not St. Cloud and Mankato, to spend $400 for a ticket, are they?
No.
I don't think so.
No, not the latter.
Well, all right, enjoy your hockey weekend here. Well, we'll talk to you tomorrow, too. So,
All right, I'm going up to Fargo Saturday if it's the Gophers and one of those. It will be one of those teams. But if the Gophers fight off Kenesha, I don't even know what Kenesha's nickname is. You know what I know about Kenesha?
The Griffs, I think.
The Kenesha's sister. Kenesha's was the eighth grade teacher and the school principal at St. Gabriel's Grade School, and she hated me. she was mean, and she was strong. She would strangle. When she got mad at you, she'd attempt to strangle you.
That's the way it worked back in the day.
You say the wrong thing,
you get physically attacked by your teachers back in the day.
You wanted to release her hold before you were dead, but you couldn't go home and complain because if she found out you complained, she'd strangle you again the next day.
That was actually the first professional wrestler Pat ever met.
That's why I root against Canisius. It's not because they're playing the Gophers. It's that I had Sister Canisius in my horrid past. So.
Amazing. All right, Pat, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Okay, Royce Unchained on the Score North YouTube channel.